you guys. I do. I really do. You know what? There's times like I just want to hang out with all of you guys because we don't get to see each other much during the week, and then I remember I got to teach the word. So we got to get into that too, but I'm so glad to see you guys this morning. You ready to get into the word? We need it. We need it. We need it so bad. We're going to be closing out the book of Philippians today. But I want to encourage you, because when we close out one book, we start another one, and we're getting ready to go into a series through the book of Ephesians. I don't know if we've got that up, but we're going to be going through the book of Ephesians starting next Sunday. But let's open up in the Word of God, and then we're going to be heading on over to Philippians chapter 4. If you got your Bible this morning, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll have it up on the screen for you guys if you didn't bring your Bible. But I want you to bring your Bible. So start, if you guys have a Bible, start bringing it. And if you don't have one and you need one, get with me, and I promise you I'm going to get a Bible to you guys, okay? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We need to hear from you today, Jesus. We need a word from you, God. We need a word. We need to hear from you today, Jesus. And I pray that you speak to us, Lord. Search our hearts and our minds. Open our eyes to give us understandings and our heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul, as he's closing out the book of Philippians, he's just talking to a group of friends, like we're hanging out here today. That's it. You know, we're family and we're friends. And so as Paul closes out Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he starts out by saying, Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. When Paul says therefore, what he's doing is he's tying back what he just said to what he just said in verse 21, which was, he said, we'll go to verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then Paul says, therefore, meaning that God, Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, he's going to take these old busted down bodies, and he's going to transform them into the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me, like, I get excited about that. Because the older I get, I'm telling you guys, this body is breaking down. Samantha came home last week. It was like last Thursday, not this Thursday, but the one before that. And she's getting into health and fitness and eating right. So she starts doing this, and I just check out because I don't care about any of that stuff. And she says, Dad, how many sit-ups can you do? And I'm like, I'm a man. I can do as many as I want. Like, I build continents. I'll bang them. And she goes, no, but when you do them, you got to twist like this, and elbow to the knee, and elbow to this knee. And I'm like, I can do as many as I want. She goes, well, let's see it. Get down on the floor and do a couple. So I got down on the floor, and man, it was the most ugly thing you ever saw. I felt like a seal. And I'm just like, and I'm banging out like as many as I can because I'm trying to hold face. And then I got through like four, and I'm like, I'm done with this. This is stupid. I'm bored. And the next morning, I felt a little stiffness in the lower back. And I thought, that's no big deal. And the next day, it was a little more. And then on Monday, I came to the church, and I was fixing the roof. Monday night, I went to bed. And I promise the Lord knows, I went to bed. Vicky stays up all night. And I go to bed. And at 2 in the morning, I get up, like, to go to the bathroom. And my back, this has never happened. Has anybody's back ever gone out before? I've never had back problems. I used to power lift, man, squat 500, deadlift. Yeah, I'm bragging because it was back in the day and I'm all fat now. But I could do all this heavy weight. Never had a problems with sit-ups. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up and my back hurts so bad. I was clawing the sheets trying to get a corner of fabric to get a hold of, to like get up out of bed. And then finally I get myself up and I sit on the edge of the bed and I'm like, I don't think I can stand up. Like, do I text Vicky in the living room? I need your help, come and get me, but I didn't want to freak her out. So I get up and it hurts so bad. I was shaking. Has anybody ever had back pain so bad you were like shaking? That's never happened to me before. I've stinking sit-ups. And so for the last week, I kid you not, I've been out sleeping out on the couch in the chair. And I bought this TENS unit machine, and it stimulates your muscles. Have you guys seen that? And it shocks your muscles, and it contracts them and all this stuff. And it's been gnarly. But you know what the Bible says is that this old body, it's going to be done away with. And God's going to give us a brand new body fashioned like that of Jesus, which was able to go through walls and could eat. Thank God we can still eat with this glorified body. But when Jesus comes back, the dead are going to rise. Boom. Paul said there's like this metamorphosis that's going to take place where one thing becomes an entirely new thing. And how many of you guys are glad for that? Come on, all you senior citizens. Raise your hand. You know you're ready for that. All you guys, Jasmine, she's like, man, I feel great. I don't know about you guys. Hey, give it some time, sister. Give it some time. So Paul says, our body, therefore, my beloved, stand strong, stand fast, stand firm in the Lord, my joy and my crown. They're his friends, but he's witnessed to him. He's ministered to him. He calls them his joy and his crown. They shine to Paul like you guys shine to me. Well, I'll tell you what, people can talk bad about you all they want, but they better never do it to me. I'll tell you what, you guys are beautiful. I love our church. I love everybody here. Paul was like, you know what, I know they had some issues, but they're my joy and they're my crown. Did you know that everybody you minister to, pray with, have a part in leading to salvation, they're your joy and crown? Like when we get to heaven, they're going to shine. In Daniel chapter 12, Daniel talks about those who save souls are wise, and they shine like the stars in the heavens. Every time you pray with somebody, every time you give and we have church and new people come in and get saved and give their life to the Lord, you're taking a part in this. We're all a family and we're all taking part of it. And those people, it doesn't go unnoticed. They're going to shine. Paul says, you guys are shining before me. You're my joy and you're my crown. And one day you're going to see all the people that you prayed for, all the people you had a part in ministry with in heaven. And they're going to be like shining like stars. That's so cool. Man, we're going to be shining. Paul says, my joy and my crown. Stand fast in the Lord. In verse 2. Now Paul's got some problems in the church with his friends, because in every church there can be problems between people. And so there's two ladies in the church in Philippi, as Paul closes this out, who are fighting against each other. They got some issues. Now I've heard it said that when a bunch of women get together, sometimes there can be some issues. And here, there's two people that are having some problems in the church. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Be of the same mind. They're arguing, and I don't know what for, because Paul doesn't tell us, but they're having disagreements with each other. And sometimes in any church, you guys, we come together, and sometimes we can get our feelings hurt easily. Sometimes we can take the wrong thing the wrong way. That's why the Bible says don't get easily offended if somebody doesn't ask you to help or somebody doesn't say hi to you. We don't really have that problem here, but it can happen in churches very easily where things, we have misunderstandings. And then the next thing you know, you get this dialogue in your head going about this person and all of this and that. And so Paul's saying, hey, listen, I don't care who's right or wrong. Did you notice he didn't address it? Because if it was me, I'd be like, Paul, who's right? Which one in the argument's the one who's in the right? You guys ever do that when you argue? I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And you're like, you'll be talking with somebody, you're having an argument with them, and you're like, okay, go ahead and speak your piece. I'm listening, but you're really thinking about how to combat everything they just got done saying. You're not listening. You're waiting to come back with something. Go on, say it. Go on. I'll be quiet. You're not quiet in your head. You're just like, Paul says, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Because you can be right in an argument, but if you're bitter, you can still be the wrong person in that argument. You can be right and still the wrong person. If you're angry and upset and bitter and nasty and hateful inside and your heart's all messed up, Paul's like, I'm not asking who's right or wrong because it doesn't matter. He says, have the mind of Christ. Because if you're messed up and bitter inside, you're still the wrong person even though you're right. How many of you guys have been right, but you're still wrong? He says, listen, we need to grow up. don't have the mind of Christ, which is what? Esteeming others better than ourselves. And so Paul's like, I want you guys, in verse 3, I urge you, also my true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also with the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. He says, help these women. Now, who are these women? These are the women that Paul started the church in Philippi with. Do you guys remember that situation? When Paul went to Philippi, there was no men there. So he got this vision. You remember the vision? And it was a guy in Macedonia. He's like, come over here and help us out. And Paul's like, okay. So he goes over there. This is how he started the Philippian church. He got a vision of this guy saying, come over and help us. And he gets there and it's nothing but a bunch of women. It didn't look like Paul thought. Some of you like, so? But there's a point in that. Because sometimes God's told you to do something and you started doing it and it didn't look like you thought it would look when you started doing it. Some of you, God's been speaking to your heart and you've been stepping out in faith and you're like, this ain't it. If this is what you wanted me to do, it would look a lot different than it looks right now, so this ain't it. But I'm going to tell you guys something. We need to remember this. What God has spoken in the light, don't doubt in the darkness. Because, see, when you're walking in the truth and stepping out in faith, sometimes it can look different than what God told you guys it would look like. You know, you get this vision, you get this thing in your heart, and you start pursuing it, and you go after it, and you're like, man, God, I know this is right, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look right. It looks different. And you can quit your calling. Because it doesn't look like you thought it looked. Paul got there, it wasn't no men, it was a bunch of women. But he took those women, he started a church, and it grew. He said, I want you to help these women. I love Paul, man. He shows me so much. He's a man's man. Don't you doubt in the darkness what God's promised in the light. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and that's what Paul did, didn't he? It's like, man, this is where God's got me. This is what he wants me to do. I know this don't look like I thought, but I'm going to keep on going. That's a word for somebody here today. You need to keep on going. Keep on going. And so he says, I want you to work together with all those, not only them, but those who are written in the book of, their names are written in the book of life. Oh, you guys remember when Jesus, it was in Luke chapter 10, where he sent the disciples out and he goes, listen, I'm giving you a power and authority to heal the sick and cast out demons and all of that. You guys remember the story? And they come back and they're like, you're never going to believe what happened. And Jesus is like, well, yeah, I probably would. I'm God. But anyways, what's up? And so they're like, man, demons were cast out in your name and we had all this power and all this might. It was so cool. And Jesus is like, yeah, but you know what's even better? You know what you need to rejoice over? That your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Not that all this stuff is happening, not that all this is going down, but that you're saved, that you're not going to hell. Like, get stoked about that. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you guys something. Hell's real. And you might be here today and think, oh, I don't believe in that part of the Bible. That's up to you. Jesus did. He taught more about it than anybody. Hell's a real place. And you know what? One of the things that you guys need to rejoice about is that you're not going to end up there. Oh, my back is sore. My boss is such a creep. My neighbor's creeping through my window. At least you're not going to hell. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're broke and busted and hurt and we got some issues, but check this out. At least you're not going to hell. You got eternal life. Think about that. Your names are written in the book of life. Man, Scott Warfield, Todd Choate, Randall, Jerry. So when your kids grow up and they have boyfriends, this is what you get to do when you're the pastor. Your name's written in the book of life. Since when? For some of you Bible thumpers, you know when that name got put in there. Before the foundation of earth. That tells me that I believe that everybody born, that their name was written in the Lamb's book of life. I believe it. I believe everybody starts out saved. Because God's good like that. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. And I believe children are saved. I believe when a child dies and goes with the Lord, he's saved. And the reason why I believe that is because Jesus taught that. For theirs, such as theirs is the kingdom. Meaning they don't earn it. They can't. They're kids. It's theirs. And I believe everybody starts out like that. But then there's a reckoning point at some time where we grow up and mature and we got to make a decision. There's a day of reckoning comes where people will say, my will be done, my kingdom come. Or they're going to say, thy will be done, your kingdom come. We have a choice because the name can be blotted out, is what the Word of God says. When they reject, when they make a conscious decision, they're like, I don't need this. It's a crutch for people who need to get by in this life. Yeah, we do need a crutch because walking on a broken leg hurts. Amen. Yeah, I'm okay with that crutch. The Lamb's Book of Life, he says, help them. Help them, all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he says this in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, I don't know how many Bible verses you guys got memorized. But you know what? Let's do this one right now. What do you say? Say it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You guys sound like somebody owes you money. Come on now, say it like you mean it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say. Okay, a little off time, but okay, we'll get it. We'll get it. We'll figure it out. Yeah, you guys had the heart. Got the heart. You got no kind of rhythm, but you got the heart. Thank you, Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice at the Lord because the Lord is at hand. That means when he says the Lord's at hand, that doesn't mean that the Lord's coming back soon. It means he's already here. When you need help, when you need a friend, you got to call up somebody. He says he's right there. The Lord's at hand. He's not far from you. He's not far from you. He's never gone anywhere. You have. We have. He hasn't. He's always there. He's right at our hand. He says, because of that, you guys can rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice always in the Lord. Not your circumstances, in the Lord. Not your situation, in the Lord, because your situation and circumstances are messed up. But he says constantly through this book, rejoice in the Lord. Not in your paycheck or pay raise. Not in your health or unhealth. Rejoice in Jesus, he says. Verse 6, and check this out. Be anxious for nothing. It's almost like telling an alcoholic, don't drink. Isn't it? Because you guys are alcoholics on anxiety. We've got an addiction. Everybody's got a problem with anxiety. Paul just comes out with, don't. Man, some of you never been on dope before. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Some of you never had addiction. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But I'm going to tell you something. When somebody's got an addiction, you say, hey, don't do that. You know what's going to happen? They say, okay. And you know what they're going to go do? They're going to go do that. Don't do that. Okay. And then they do that. Because they're addicted. That's kind of like what Paul's doing, but he goes a little bit farther with it. And that's why I love the Bible, because it doesn't leave us where it found us. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that and how to fix that. He doesn't just say fix it and leave. This is what he says. He says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. All that surpasses all understanding. I want to ask you guys a quick question and we'll keep going. If you had the opportunity, would you want knowledge or would you want peace? That's a good answer. That's my answer. You can only have one. This isn't you rubbing the genie on the third one, you get three more. You want knowledge or you want peace? Just say it. Okay, and here's why. Here's why. Here's why. Here's why. And here's why that's smart. Because you can have knowledge about something and no ability to change it. Right? You can know you're sick. You can know you got something going on. But that doesn't mean that you can fix it. And the reason why you said peace is because you can maybe not understand what's going on and yet still have peace while it's going on. And that's why Paul is talking about surpasses all understanding, surpasses your knowledge, because knowledge is great, but it doesn't do much to help you sometimes. And what Paul is saying is, I got something better for you in Jesus, and it's this. It's peace when you can't change the problem. And it will come over you. It will guard you. Let's have fun with Paul. Let's think about it for a second. So Paul's writing this letter, and he's chained to a guard, isn't he? As he's writing. And I was watching Paul write this. And I saw the smile on his face because it was so funny as he was writing this. And he says, and as he's writing, he says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will. And he looks at his chains and he looks at will guard. Yeah, that's it. That will guard. And I picture Paul smiling and the guard looking at him like, what's wrong with you, you old crazy fool? What you laughing at? He's like, nothing. You're going to help me write something. The peace of God will guard. Garrison around your mind, around your heart, will strengthen you in your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Paul tells him how to rejoice when he says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Anxiety can't always be changed by changing the things that are external. Did you know that? You can change things around you, but it doesn't mean that you're changing the anxiety in you. Paul says to him, he says, take it to God in prayer. First, take it to God in prayer. Pray. And when he says pray, you want to know, well, what did he mean by pray right there? He's talking about just like what we're doing right here, hanging out, talking like friends. When he used the word prayer, it's like every day, he's like, just talk with God. Talk with God. You know, because sometimes we get up in the morning and we do the same old prayer. God's not looking for a monologue. He's looking for a dialogue. He's not looking for us to get up in the morning, put the keys in the car, and be like, oh, God, help me get through not killing somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, God, help me from not being myself today, because if I'm me today and I adult today, then I'm just going to be crazy and I'm going to end up in jail. God help. And it's just the same old prayer. God, do that. God, do that. And it's like a monologue. Paul's saying we need a dialogue where we're hanging out with them. And, hey, Lord, I love you. Thank you for this day. Hey, God, I'm praying for my friend. Hey, Jesus, I need to talk to you about this. Hey, this. And then he says supplication, which is still talking with God, but it means talking to God specifically about specific things. So you know how we can have friends and we can hang out with them and talk with them about stuff. You know, hey, how was the football game? It was good. Or I don't watch no foosball. You know, you guys got these little conversations, but then you get your friend and you're like, you know what, I got to talk to you about something very serious. You ever had to have a chat with a friend that's just like, man, I know we goof off a lot, but I got to talk to you. That's what supplication is. Lord, you're my friend. We hang out, but I got something going on today that I need you to get involved in. It's this. It's supplication. Paul says we need prayer and we need to have supplication. And I think the more that we grow, we realize it's not so much that God needs to hear from us as much as we got to start hearing from God. As much as we got to listen to pray and to bring in supplication and just kind of wait and chill out. We're so antsy. We want to have answers. We want problems fixed. It's got to happen now. We got microwaves. You know, it's like boom, 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 now. But we got to wait and we got to listen to hear a word from God. And so God's looking for a dialogue, not a monologue. So Paul, he says to him, verse 8, after he says the peace of God will be with you, before that, though, he said meditate, didn't he? After you were praying and were bringing in supplication, he said meditate on these things. Now, you guys know how to meditate because you know how to worry. You guys know how to worry, right? Let's have a message on how to worry. No one's ever going to teach that. We all get it. So meditation, check this out, is worry just backwards. That's it. You guys know how to worry? You know how to meditate. You're good. You could teach a class on it. He says, meditate on these things. I want you to think about these things. In verse 8, check it out. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, meditate on these things. Think, you saw me do it. You saw me. When things were going rough, I didn't freak out, but I took it to the Lord, and I hung out there, and I worried in reverse. See, that's what some of you guys need to do. Write that in your Bible. I need to worry in reverse. Paul said, that's what I was doing. I was worrying in reverse, and I was taking it to the Lord, and you guys saw me, and that's what I did. And it was this peace that came over me when I was meditating on the Word of God. The peace. Like when you hop in a jacuzzi at the end of the day, and you're just like, yeah, this feels good. That peace, Paul says, he says, meditate on these things. You got to get your mind going in another direction. Because we talked about that in the first week or so of Philippians. That God's not gonna change your heart. Like, we can't change that. You know that, right? You can't change your heart. I can't change my heart. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know why I can't fix me, that's normal. God has to fix you. But what you can do is fix your mind. What you can do is you can't change your heart, but you can change the way you think about stuff. You can't change what comes into your mind, but you can change how long you decide for it to live there. See, you got stuff in your head that's there way too long. It makes sense why we're so messed up. We're letting stuff take up residence that shouldn't even be there. And that is in our power. You remember last week's message? We talked about living on the level. We got to grow up. And one of those things about growing up is kicking stuff out as soon as it comes out that is not praiseworthy, that is not noble, that is not a virtue, that is not pure. And so we got to say, okay, I'm kicking that stuff out. I'm going to take every thought captive, and I'm going to make it submit to Christ Jesus. So, you know, if you're here and you got a problem with depression, one of the last things you should be doing is watching the news before you go to bed. Or The Bachelor. I don't know if The Bachelor's bad. I hate it. It's the stupidest thing. Last night we were watching Twilight. Good Lord. The acting in that is just so good. It's like... But you got to be careful about what you're watching. You got to be careful about what you're listening to. There's nothing wrong with listening to secular music. I love me a little 80s, you know, Def Leppard, Van Hagar. I'm not into Van Halen. But I like all that stuff, Journey and The Police and all that. I'm down with all that. But you know what? Here's the problem. You got to be careful about what you're taking in. Because it's going to affect the way that you think, and the way that you think affects the way that you live. And so when people say, man, Jason, I just need to hear, you know, some Pink or whatever, I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but I need to hear something that's going to encourage me and lift me up in the Lord. If you got a problem with depression, you better watch what you're reading in those books, online, whatever it is. And so when you go to bed, here's a tip. If you guys want to wake up good tomorrow, go to bed, spend some time in prayer, and get in bed and go to bed. And you watch, if you get yourself in a cycle where the last thing that goes in your heart and in your mind is the Word of God, man, you're going to have some peace. Do you guys remember when you were in school and you'd have to study for a test? The test was on Friday, so you didn't study the week before. You crammed it all on Thursday night. And for some of us, that was cool. And the reason why is because it was so fresh in our mind that we woke up on Friday and at least we got an A. Like, that was like, I was like, yes! My mom was so proud of me. Jason, a D! Like, we're going out to Chuck E. Cheese. Like, this is amazing. My son, the genius. But I would study. I'd cram Thursday night because for me, Friday morning, it was fresh in my head. And so all I'm saying is if you want it fresh in your head the next day, if you want each day to be like that, then you got to get it in. So he says, meditate on these things. Because we can change our mind and God will change our heart, but he's not going to change our heart unless we change our mind. And so Paul closes this out. And he says in verse 10, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly now. For me has flourished again. Though you surely did not care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need. I have learned. Would you guys say that with me? I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I had to ask you to say it. Because sometimes you guys are praying, God, help me be content. God, help me be content. Help me be content. And you know what God's saying? I am. But you're going to have to learn that right where you're at. You're going to have to learn it. God's not going to give it. Man, how many of us just want God to give us that? God, just make me. It's like being patient. God, just, I want patience right now. God's like, okay, you want to be patient for reals? Okay. Well, here's some kids, right? Here's a family. Here's a husband. Here's a wife. And so we go through these things, and Paul says, listen, don't feel bad if you're wondering that you're broke. You got to learn to be in content. Paul says, I've learned. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things, not some things, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not something you put over the gym when you're ready to bench press. That's what a lot of guys do. They're getting ready to PR, right? And they're like, man, I'm about ready to bench. And they put this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then they take out 450 pounds and they dump it. Poof. And it's like, well, what happened, man? I thought you could do all things through Jesus, man. How come you can't bench the 450 pounds? Oh, well, I don't know. Because you're stupid. That's why. It doesn't work like that. Paul's not talking about you bench pressing. He's not talking about you moving weight. He's talking about you moving mountains. Mountains. Jesus said it. He said, I tell you, if you got faith, you speak to this mountain and it will be cast into the sea. I'm not talking about weight. I'm talking about mountains. You would be amazed at what you can do through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you and what would move in your life that you said, man, I'm never going to get through this mountain. I'm never going to get through this huge block in my face. I'm never going to get through it. You would be amazed. Jesus says you're moving mountains. It's a spiritual reality that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're facing all these temptations and issues in our life, Paul's saying, you can do it all through Christ who strengthens you. Paul's telling us today that we don't need to be victims of our circumstances, but we can be victors over them. You know, there's like this issue where we're fine if everything's fine. but we get all messed up when things are messed up. I was thinking about Jerry. He's got this car, and it's got a heater in it, but it doesn't work. But it does work. So the way it was going, Samantha told me, they were driving down the street. You remember when they were doing road work over by Oscar's? And there was a huge pothole there for like 3 days. Everybody knows it because you're just like, man, I'm suing the city every time you hit it. And so this, they were driving, and they go by, and Jerry hits that pothole in his junky old car. Thank God for junky cars. It gets where we got to go. And the heater turns on. He smacked that hole so hard, it fixed his heater. And so they were coming back the next day. He hit that hole again. Guess what? It broke the heater. And so Samantha said, you know what? You need to go flip a U-turn, go hit that bump again. You need to go hit that thing again. It's going to fix your thing. And Randall was talking to him. He goes, man, maybe it's your thermometer. Maybe it's your thermostat in there is all broken. And that's what Paul's saying to us. The reason why we don't have the joy of the peace of the Lord is because we've got a broken thermostat. Meaning, see, we can be one or two different type of people. We can be a thermometer, or we can be a thermostat. Do you guys know what the difference is? A thermometer, that thing goes up and down according to what's happening to it. So if things are hot, guess what? It goes up. If things are cold, it's going down. But you know what a thermostat does? It controls everything. It knows the temperature. It doesn't deny it. But it sets the way things happen around it. Do you know what I'm saying? Is this making sense? And Paul's saying, listen, you need to be the thermostat where you're controlling. Paul says, I know how to get along and having a lot, and I know how to get along using the coupons. But in everything, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm totally, totally content in Christ Jesus. Now check this out, I'm gonna close with this. When we're talking about contentment, if you're not content with Christ right now where you are, you're not going to be content if you get where you want to be without Him. You don't know where I'm at right now. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I'm not saying I can totally identify with you. I'm saying Paul can, and I'm going to default to him, and we're going to go off of what he says about us. He says, listen, there's contentment in Christ. And so now he closes it out. This is what he says. He says in verse 14, after he says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Not you strengthening yourself, not you listening to the self-help books before you go to bed. I am good. I am strong. I am powerful. I am wealthy. And then you wake up, you're sick, broke, and tired. No. So he's like, listen, this isn't the power of positive thinking, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, nevertheless, you've done well, you've shared in my distress, and now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, that when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I need a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So Paul's like, listen, I want to thank you that you've helped me in my ministry. And he's like, you guys were generous to me. You sent me this. But at the same time, Paul does depend upon people to help him in the ministry. Jesus did. Man, how humbling is that? Jesus depended on other people's money to help him in the ministry. Did you know that? The women, it was the women that helped Jesus. The Bible tells us. They would give to the ministry so they could go out and preach and teach. Other people were contributing. The King of Kings can do anything. And yet, he was dependent upon those outside him helping him. So Paul says, listen, I want to thank you guys for that. Not that I need it, because you know, I'm good in anything, but seriously, thank you for your help. So it's kind of like he's asking for their continual help, but he's like, I'm good if you don't. And so he says, verse 17, but I see your account. Which means every time you guys give here, which means every time you serve out there, which means you getting involved with people, praying with them, and you're loving them, and you're bringing them before the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys something about what we do here. We all got jobs, and we all help. Did you know that someone's keeping an account? And it's not our accountant. God sees everything, and he puts it to our account. And Paul says, look, I'm seeking for that fruit. I want to see that fruit in the kingdom of God. Because you know what? God is so good. He blesses those who bless. And you know that. Whether it's giving financially here or giving to somebody out there or mowing somebody's yard, you're like, man, Jesus, I ain't got no money. Okay, but maybe you can mow somebody's yard. Maybe you can help somebody. Maybe you can go over and listen to somebody, pray with somebody, be there. It's not always money. It's not always money. And God blesses those who bless. That's why, listen, I want to encourage you guys as you go out of here today, and we're all broke, but you know what? You can still be generous. And you know one thing that I've learned about the Lord? I never have to worry about if I'm going to make my bills or not, because I can't outgive God, and that's the God's honest truth. And so he tells him, he says, listen, I thank you guys for it. I'm full. I've received from Aphrodite the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according, not all the greed, all the need. I had to back that up. All the need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you, and all the saints greet you, but especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Man, Paul. And thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for that book. Thank you, Lord, that you filled him up in such a way. The grace of God be with you. So, worship team, you guys come on up. We're about ready to take communion. But before we do, would you guys stand with me as we close this out? And I want to take this opportunity, and I want to pray for somebody specifically today who's come into church today, and your heart is heavy. There's anxiety that's filling you up. There's worry that's keeping you down. There's a situation you can't control and you don't know how you're going to make it. I don't know who this is. But this is a word for you. That God is going to supply your every need. God is going to take care of you. God is going to see you through it. God is going to strengthen you in it. And this isn't the end of it. Father, we come to you today. So thankful for you, Jesus. So thankful that we can come in with a heavy heart and leave in such a different way than we walked in these doors, because of the power of your Holy Spirit and the belief in your word. God, I pray for the anxiety, Lord, that we close out this, we're going to just do a couple worship songs and we're going to take communion. And I, guys, you know, when we're taking communion, I want you to remember what Jesus did. It's his body that was broken and his blood that was shed for our sins. And we get to come into this place today and partake of that and say, yes, yes, Lord, I need that. Yes, Lord, I believe that. Yes, Lord, I accept that. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this communion today. May our eyes be set on you, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice of your body broken. Your